In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. This morning's going to be somewhat unique. Some of you, good, solid Episcopalians and liturgical people, maybe want to know why we're dressed in white. Well, we have a baptism today, so we always dress in white for that. So we're excited about that opportunity to bring yet another person into the body of Christ, to recognize what Jesus has already done. So when we begin this morning, we are looking at Colossians, and what we find is Paul doing what Paul is supposed to be doing. He's encouraging the church. And so in this letter to the Colossians, he, in our portion today, beginning at verse 15, he starts out talking about who this Jesus is. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body. And today we're going to be talking a lot about this body that Christ is the head of. And Paul, it goes on and on and on, like Paul tends to do, about Jesus and all that he is. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things. All things. The fallen creation, the fallen people, all things, all people reconciled to God through the blood of his cross. We all knew that, right? Amen? Okay, good. I suspect the church that it was receiving this letter also understood that. And then he also brings up in 21, and you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, maybe not all of us, but some of us qualified, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him. Which I think is something we all want, to stand before God, redeemed. And then he, of course, can't leave it there. He says, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. And then he says, I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. And then he gets to the point where he begins to talk about his responsibilities to the church and the way in which he's called to care for them, guide them, and lead them, and most importantly, point them to Jesus Christ as the key, the foundation. Some may remember a phrase where he's referred to as the cornerstone. This is what we build on, is Jesus Christ. That's what we point to as the church. As the priest in his church, that's my whole job, is to point the church to Jesus Christ so that the church can understand more of who Jesus is and the way in which Jesus moves within the church. Now, having said that, we had this really wonderful, exciting time last fall. I was still pretty new. Well, new to here. Obviously, I came with a few miles already on me. But we had this movement where we changed from just sort of our normal budgeting practice. Let me warn you, I'm going to talk a little bit about money. So if that offends you, I apologize immediately. But I just want to let you know, I will apologize that it offends you. But what I have to say to you is this. In this day and age, brothers and sisters, in our society, in the time in which we live, to do the work that God's given us to do, it takes money. But you knew that. I'm not here to hound you about money, by the way. I'm here to tell you about ministry. It just so happens they run hand in hand. They can't be separated. So as we go forward, I just want to say part of my role is to guide and lead some of these changes. So we created this wonderful thing called a narrative budget. And you saw that, and you saw the fun pie charts and all that. You got the brochure? Yes? Okay, good. And it kind of showed you where the money was going and how we did that and how we figured in the use of our buildings for outreach and kind of put it all together. And you could look at it and go, yeah, that kind of makes sense to me. I get it. And there was some excitement behind that. And we said to you, we're going to give you the narrative. We're going to keep you up to date on the narrative. And then, to be really honest, we just didn't. So that's on me. So I'll take that. It's my job to see that these things happen. So here we are. It's only 7 months into the year. And today I have for you the narrative of that which we've been doing. Of course, we couldn't give you all of it for the simple fact that matters. We don't have that kind of time on a Sunday morning. But I wanted to get it out to as many people as possible. So we have this wonderful video that's been put together by our parish development team and a few other folks, finance committee involved, that shares a little bit of the work that God's been doing here through you. So we're going to watch that video and hopefully hear it.
The people of Holy Innocents Episcopal Church proclaim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They rely on Jesus to transform their individual lives, and in so doing, transform the world around them. Located at the corner of Valrico Road and Front Street, they are the church next to the railroad tracks and are on track with Jesus. Starting in 2018, the Finance and Parish Growth and Development Committees collaborated to present the annual budget in a narrative format that clearly illustrates the source of our monetary resources, the allocation of our resources by commission, and our hopes and dreams for the future. Holy Innocents devotes about one quarter of its budget to mission and outreach. We support a wide variety of programs designed to reach our brothers and sisters in need. These are just a few examples. We participate in a variety of feeding ministries like Meals on Wheels and food bags for the hungry. Holy Innocents Meals on Wheels team members prepare on average about 100 meals per month for the elderly and homebound. There is a critical need for more drivers and cooks. At Christmas, we participate in Project Angel Tree, a program designed to show the children of incarcerated parents that they are not forgotten or outside Christ's love. A present at Christmas can make an amazing difference in the life of a child. Along with a network of other churches, we participate in Family Promise, opening our church facilities to homeless families for a safe and comfortable home while they work toward their own forever home. Two Fridays a month, Rachel's Guild, consisting of 10 to 20 quilters, meet at Holy Innocents to produce quilts for Joshua House, a safe haven for abused, neglected, and abandoned children in Tampa Bay. They also provide quilts for children in Family Promise and Kids Place. Over 1,000 quilts have been made by the group, with 75 made so far this year. Our work with Kids Pack, a ministry that provides backpacks of food to children who wouldn't otherwise eat over the weekend, has been extremely successful. In 2019, we have packed over 2,156 weekend meals with the help of 25 to 30 dedicated volunteers. In addition, Holy Innocents has developed a new outreach ministry at Dover Elementary to include student mentoring, character discussions, and support to faculty and staff with volunteers at the school every day. We support the Dover Food Pantry, book drives, reading and library programs, and monthly perfect attendance programs. Dover students improved their test scores and school grades in 2019, and we look forward to expanded programs in the coming school year. Dover's motto is transforming schools, transforming lives. As we know at Holy Innocents, once lives are transformed, the next step is transforming the world. Holy Innocents has also partnered with Love INC, Love in the Name of Christ, to assist us in reaching and supporting a broader base of individuals in need. Our parishioners have formed two new organizations, the Brotherhood of St. Andrew, and Daughters of the King, to assist each other in prayer, study, and service. We support our youth in their efforts to bring their faith to a broken world. In June, we welcomed Morgan Brownlee as our new minister/director of youth and family. She intends to grow a community of students of all ages who love and serve Jesus Christ in their communities. In 2019, we projected income of $563,627. As of June 30th, projected income is lagging by $13,354. Our projected expenses for 2019 were $573,083, with almost a quarter of our budget going to outreach and missions. Keeping our financial commitments up to date is critical. We are challenged by Christ to care for one another as if we were caring for Him. We cannot do this work without you. Together, we can answer Christ's call to join in the harvest in the work of transforming lives and the world.
Well, there's your narrative, a piece of it. There's more things happening that didn't make the video. And as you can see, and as I look at you, you seem puzzled, slightly puzzled. There's a lot of work happening here at Holy Innocence. Oh, there I am. And it's because you all have made the decision to be the church. And as we listen to Paul's words, encouraging us as to who Jesus is, reminding us of the choice that we have made to follow him, and then he moves forward even in this letter, and he begins to talk about his own role as the encourager and how he became a servant to God, by God's commission to care for the church and to help the church make the word of God fully known. He says, verse 26, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints, which, by the way, when Paul refers to saints, he's talking about all baptized members of the church, not just those people that we recognize on special days or name churches after. He thinks every follower of Jesus is considered to be a saint. And to them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. The mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What this narrative represents and what that pie chart represents at 24% is that's the hope going out to the world. Yet there's a big chunk dedicated to worship. We are a worshiping community, first and foremost. We worship God. The second most important thing is that we care and love for God's, we care for and love God's people. That's the 24%. Would I like to see it equal to the other? I would. I'd like to see it exceed it, to be honest with you, but that's going to require this building to be less expensive than it is. But that's the reality. Everything costs money. And so we've put it all together in this narrative budget so that you could see where it's going. Hopefully to be encouraged to know that your leadership is committed to being the church just as you are committed to being the church, which Paul is telling the church today. The hope of Christ is in you. Christ in you. Christ in you brings Christ to the world. Amen? This is how it works. This is how he moves. He gathers us together. We worship him with our whole heart, our mind, our body, our soul, all that we are. And then we can take that which we receive in our worship, that love of Christ, that which we've received in our own understandings of his presence in our lives, the grace, the mercy, the love, the forgiveness, all that he is to us. And then we can make that part of who we are, which makes him present within us, which allows us to go to the world. So that the world can see the hope in Christ, but it's seen through us. That's happening here at Holy Innocence. There's some proof. There's more, by the way. But the video would be very long. So that's just a taste. Every time Family Promise comes, and people live right here on this property. Each child is given a quilt made by the hands of many ladies and occasionally a man that gather here. Has a name on it. Johnny, who's 4 years old, this evening will receive this quilt as his own, as a reminder of the love of Christ that's being shared with him through this community. People will gather and have dinner with these families. He'll prepare a dinner, bring it for them, sit with them, eat with them, play with them, pray with them, and most just love them. That's what we're called to do. And sometimes we want to make this huge splash and create this big scene. No, brothers and sisters, what we need to do is just be Christ to someone, anyone. And sometimes God will call us to be Christ to someone we don't want to go near. At my previous parish, there was a young woman there who had some mental illnesses, more than one. She was incapable of making good, solid decisions on her own. And we live in a society that looks at someone like that and says, well, if you ask for help, we can give it to you. But if you don't ask, we won't. And she doesn't know to ask. And she had been around a lot. Every day she was there, and she would periodically come into my office. It was a slightly smaller setting. She could walk right into my office, and she, about every hour or so, she'd come in and yell at me about something. I'm not really sure what, and I'd had a week of it. And I have to tell you, I was a little weary. And I was driving to my office later in the week, and I'm telling God, which I tend to do, you can try it if you want, it hasn't worked for me, telling God what he should be doing. And I'm like, God, you have to do something with her. You have to do something. She's driving me crazy. And of course, all the good church people are going, you need to get rid of her. And my heart's going, and do what? God, do something. And you know what? I stopped talking for a few minutes, and he speaks to my heart, always to my heart. And he says, I wish he'd just speak into my ears. But in my heart, he goes, I'm doing something. I'm sending you there now. Do something else. I'm sending you there now. What that moment allowed me to do was to recognize what God had done for me. The fact that he was willing to love me when I was a mess. And he's still loving me as I'm still a bit of a mess. And then I was able to go there and find this person who was there, and I could just go, okay, one job. She needs to see the Christ in me. That's it. Which means get out of the way, Brian, and just be a vessel of Christ's love. I couldn't fix her. I couldn't. If I could have, I would have. Unfortunately, I think more often than not, when the church runs up against something like that that's challenging, we realize we can't fix the problem, so we just sort of make the problem go away, and everybody goes, well, it just kind of went away. Isn't that just God's grace? Right. Or is it just that God sent that person to somebody else who was willing to be Christ to them? It can be uncomfortable sometimes being in the church, I know. And I have no doubt, I hope at least one of you is as uncomfortable as I am right now talking about budget on a Sunday morning. But it's not about the money, yet it is. I want you to see beyond the money. Know that it's necessary to do all that we do. Know that it's necessary for us to continue forward doing God's work in his will in this time. When this quilt becomes a bartering tool and we don't have to use cash, we'll use these. But at the moment, it has to do with financial things. That's the world we live in. And there is much work to be done, brothers and sisters. And God has given much of it to us. And he's only given it to us for one reason only, because you're doing it. Amen? He's giving it to you because you're doing it. When you go out there and you are Christ to someone, when someone sees Christ in you, God just sends more people that need to see him. He'll do it every single time. So when we gather here, I want to be pointing you to him, to the cross, to his very body and blood that he used to reconcile you to himself, so that you can go out excited and passionate about what you have gained and how you can point others to him. Amen? It's about Christ in you. Christ in you. To the world. We can go out there and try and do a big thing. Or we can just do the thing that's in front of us right now. And the more we do, the more he will give us to do. And here's the really wonderful part about it. Our lectionary doesn't use this particular verse because it ends before it, but I want to add it. As Paul comes to the end of this, what potentially may have sounded like a rant, he talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That's the work of the church. I'll add this. For this I toil and struggle, Paul says, with all the energy that he powerfully inspires within me. So if you're there thinking, I don't have the energy for it, I would say you're right. You're right. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I had to have some tea between services to have the energy to be here now. I had a glorious week with my grandchildren. I got to slip that in. Five of them, anyway. I'm getting old. I got up this morning thinking, I don't know if I have the energy. You know, and I don't. But he does. And he's willing to give me his energy so I can do his work and his will. The more I do, the more he gives me. He provides all things, up to and including the material things we need to do the work he's called us to do. The way that will come is the way everything else comes. We will be focused on Christ. We will do his work and his will. We will be the hope of glory, Christ in us, and the Lord will provide. Those who need to see Christ will be put before us. The means of to make it happen financially in this world, he will bring through us. And the opportunity for us to grow will come only through the foot of his cross. Amen? You still want to bring her into this? Okay, good. So, brothers and sisters, this whole reading from Colossians is huge. And I went over all of it. I created three sermons. Shockingly, I've only given you one. But I had to get down to just this. Verse 27. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's you. Christ in you is the hope. For everything that's going sideways in the world, the hope is in Christ. The way the world will see that is through you, where Christ is in you. We bring hope in Jesus Christ as the church. That's what the church does. And today, we have the great joy of adding another member to this very body, the church. He brings the workers. We're going to let her get on her feet and walk before we put her to work. But shortly after that, she will become a worker. She's going to look to each of us and learn how to love. We're probably going to butt heads from time to time. We might step on each other's toes on occasion. But if we keep our eyes on the prize, if we stay focused on Jesus Christ, all those other things will slowly go by. Our focus is on Christ. Our desire is to serve him. We, the hope is in us, and the hope is Jesus Christ to be carried to the world. I think our young people might be hiding outside. Maybe. Yes, when we have a baptism, we'd like to have everybody here.